והנה, now, הגם שזה שלפעמים מקדים עם מוישה ליאלון, לפעמים מקדים עם אלון למוישה, even though that sometimes we go first, we mention first מוישה, and then אלון, and sometimes we first mention אלון, and then מוישה. אמר רזל, our sages say, why is this? שהוא משום ששניהם שיקולים, because they are the same. So sometimes this one comes first, so this one comes first, to teach you, they are the same level. Even so, מכל מקום, גם בזגוף המובן, שיש מקום לבר, שבמקום שאוזכר מוישה תתחילה, שם הוא העיקר. ובמקום שאוזכר אלון התחילה, שם הוא העיקר. Even so, they're the same, yeah, but sometimes Moshe is mentioned first. So that means that in that place, when he's mentioned first, he's the main thing. And when Aaron is mentioned first, in that place, he's the main thing. ועל דרך שהוא בעניין כיבוד אבוהם, and מויר אבוהם, the same thing happens with a different mitzvah, nothing to do with what we're talking about, but we're going to understand the same thing, the same idea, when you have to honor your father and your mother, and you have to fear your father and your mother. דבקיבוד כסיב כבד זווי כבד זמחו, ובמויר כסיב איש אימוי ואובי תירו, when you have to honor, the Torah says, first your father and then your mother. When you have to fear, the Torah says, first your mother and then your father. Why? Even though our sages say that this shows you that father and mother is the same, basically the same level, you have to honor both and fear both. Even so, Rashi explains, when the Torah says you have to fear your mother and your father, Rashi says, "Kanigdim aim laav lefishigalu lefalam sheben yeres aviv yoitzer meimoy." Here, the Torah, when talking about fear, here the Torah precedes the mother and then the father, because God knows that the son fears his father more than his mother. It's a natural thing. Uvekovadikim av leaim, and when he's talking about honoring, the Torah says first the father and then the mother. Why? Because God knows that a son honors the mother more than the father. So the Torah says, go honor your father. But we see that even though they're the same level, however, when one is mentioned first, it's because in that place he is the main thing. And when the other one is mentioned first, because in that place he is the main thing. According to this, so the Rebbe proved from like the scripture the concept he's saying. Moshe comes first because it's the main thing. Aaron comes first because it's the main thing. Whatever that means, whatever it is. According to this, you're going to see that the main thing in the Torah, what is the Torah looking for? You should change your nature. That's the main thing. The Magdim in Ze Sheetzlo Itzarich Lio is Yoitzer Shino Yateva Bishvil Lekaimoi. The Torah mentions first that person or whatever, father, mother, or Moshe Aaron, that case in which you have to change more the nature in order to fulfill it. Like in the case of the father, honor him. Oi, for me it's easy to fear him. No. Go honor him. And your mother, go fear her. No. For me, it's easy to honor her. No. Go fear her. Same thing happens with Moshe and Aaron. This is a very fundamental thing in the service of a person to God. As it's brought in a book of teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, in the name of Rav Sadia Gaon. Now, I'm going to not read the parentheses. Let's keep the parentheses. This is going to make it very clear. What is brought in the name of the Baal Shem Tov? I'm sorry, that the Baal Shem Tov said in the name of Rav Sadia Gaon, what is brought? Ki ikar briyas ha'adam b'olam hazeh, hi leshaber midas ha'tivyos sheloi. The main thing in the work of a person towards God, whatever, service of God, in this world is to break your natural emotions. Chule, etc. Now, what's the connection with Abraham? That's what God said to Abraham. This is not only something that the Baal Shem Tov mentioned in the name of Rav Sadia Gaon, you have to look for the source. No. What do I mean a source? It's in the Torah. God told this to Abraham. What did God tell Abraham? Lech lecho, go out, so to speak, me'artzecha, from your land, mimoladetecha, from the place you were born, the Ainu. What does that mean? הטבע שנולדת עמו. You have to change, go out of the nature you were born with. Change it. With this, the Rebbe proved the idea that is a very fundamental thing in the service of God, to change your nature.
Yeah.
וכמבואר בכמה במקום, as he's explaining many places, בביור כותל זה, when explaining this verse regarding Abraham, לך לך, go out, etc. שעניינו הוא לצאת מטבעי. The idea, the teaching of that is to go out of your nature. Because the Rebbe doesn't mention this, because it's not the main thing of this course, but the idea is it's very important. Torah is not a book of history. I mean, there are also his stories, and it's important, and it gives some kind of historical background and context, but that's not the point of the book. The point of the book is teachings. So if we learn about Abraham, I don't really care who Abraham was and what he did when he went, and just tell me what I have to do. I want to serve God. Tell me, what can I eat? What can I not eat? Not eat. No, the Torah is teaching you how to serve God by telling you what happened with Abraham. Leave your nature. Go out of your own nature. Now, the Rezeh Matzin V'Dibri Rabbi Seinu. Same thing we found in the writings of our Rebbein in Hasidus. The whole Inyan HaChasidus who L'shan Esteva Midoisa. The whole thing of Hasidus, what is it? What do the Rebbein, so to speak, want from us? To change the nature of our emotions. Oy, another option, another way of understanding it, midoy savativim. You have to change your natural inclinations. Kebeis aleshen asamuvayim belikute dibunim. Like the two ways of understanding brought in the writings of the previous Rebbe. Likute dibunim is a book of writings of talks of the previous Rebbe. So the connection is there. You have to change your nature. That's what God told Abraham.
Now it makes sense.
Yeah, sometimes you have to
read again.
Yeah. It's very common. Sometimes I learn with my children. I have a son and a daughter in Eretz Israel, and constantly I do this. Let's skip the parentheses. Let's skip the brackets, and they hate it. Like, wait a minute, it's written over there. Listen to me. Let's skip it, and we go back afterwards. Don't worry, I'm going to read it. It makes clear, the thing gets clearer.
Makes it more clear, yes.
Next paragraph. This is where the Maimer takes a turn, and I think it's very, very genius and very interesting, to talk about Bnei Noach particularly. The Rebbe is talking just about this.
Mm-hmm.
Until now, we spoke about Moshe, Aaron, okay, going out of Egypt, talking to Pharaoh, very nice. The Maimer, the discourse could have finished over here. It's okay, we have explained something, it's clear. Now, the discourse continues. And it's like this. Hine, now. Shem shehoya b'yetzias Mitzrayim, just as it was in going out of Egypt. How was it? Sheleda verim paroi melech Mitzrayim. Huchtam Moshe le'arein, that to talk to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. First came Moshe, and then came Aaron. Why? So the Rebbe explained through the whole discourse. Mishum she'atoyra bekoicha lifol gam beleum hazeh uveum osa'oi lom bichlal. Because it is in the strength of the Torah to affect the other side, so to speak. Of course, it's just God, but God creates, so to speak, evil in order to be able to choose. So we have an influence on the other side also. And in the nations of the world, osa'oi lom in general. Just be quiet again.
He's not talking about Olam Haba.
No, definitely no. No.
There I make a mistake in my translation.
Yeah, no.
Be'olam hazeh ve'olam haba.
No, he's saying le'umas zeh ube'umos ha'olam. Those are the words. Means the Torah has the strength to affect the other side, like evil in the world. You can change evil mm-hmm. through Torah. And you can change the nations of the world through Torah. Now he's talking about non-Jews. This directly. That this is what it means. No other like second idea. No. It's talking about non-Jews, and he's going to explain. Al derech ze, just as Moshe had to affect Pharaoh, which was after all a non-Jew. Al derech ze, the same way, ugam be'avodas ha'adam. The same thing you can apply in the service of man to God. What does that mean? Hine, now, ידוע מה שכתב הרמב״ם. It's known what the Rambam, Maimonides wrote, שציווה מוישה מפי הגבורה לא קוף כל בוי האוילום לקבל מצוות שנסתרו בני נויח. God told Moshe in the Mount of Sinai, to force, these are the words of the Rambam, to force all the human people, all the humans, all the people of the world to accept the commandments that were given to all the Bnei Noach, those who are not Jews. Let's go into the brackets. Why is it that? Why is Judaism have to go and talk to non-Jews? What do I care? It's non-Jew. Because in the world to come, it's going to be fulfilled that which is written. What is it written? God will be the king. First of all, the king of all the human beings. And moreover, it's a very verse that talks about the main thing of Bnei Noach. God says, I'm going to turn myself to all the nations with a clear tongue, so to speak, with a clear language, in order so everybody should call in the name of God, to serve him shoulder to shoulder, like everybody together will serve God. So it's written clearly that, like, in other words, do you want Mashiach to come? Yeah, we're talking about Mashiach. Okay, you know what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? Everybody's going to serve God. Now, everybody means even non-Jews. So how do you want non-Jews to serve God if they have no idea what you're talking about? Who is God? What does it mean to serve him? So you're going to have to prepare something in order that when Mashiach comes, people are going to say, oh yeah, this is what it means to serve God. So you're going to have to do something. Dehainu, the Rebbe says clearly, Shekulam yakiru b'malchusa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody is going to recognize that God is a king. Lochen, therefore, everybody has to recognize this. So you better talk about God to everybody. Lochen besura chanal, therefore, just as a way of preparing yourself for this, Yeshno gam bezman hazeh achiv delok of kol bay olam chule. Today, nowadays, so to speak, we have an obligation, he's talking to Jews, so we have an obligation to force every human being to accept these seven mitzvahs, etc., etc. So in the brackets, he explained, it's not written in other places, the Rebbe is making a very strong connection. You want everybody to understand that God is the king, so you better talk to them about God. Otherwise, forget it. They're not gonna get it. Okay, this is end of the brackets. Let's go back, so to speak. The phrase started saying that everybody knows, so to speak, everybody knows what the Rambam wrote. And the Rambam wrote, go talk about the seven mitzvahs to everybody. End of the brackets. The akavana baze, eina shekayimus hamitzvahs rak mechama seichel, sheken, I'm sorry, nitztav anoyach. The idea here is not that they should fulfill these commandments only because that's what Noach was commanded to do. No, that's not enough. Elo, rather, mishum sheken tziva al yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, and the Rambam writes this, the Rebbe is just paraphrasing the Rambam, and he says in the parenthesis, like the Rambam himself continues saying, they have to fulfill the commandments because God told Moshe in Mount Sinai to go tell all the people to do this. I mean, you can find many, many people, like normal people, non-Jews, that will tell you, I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to kill anybody. Like, forget it. My parents never taught me this. I'm a normal person. Why should I do it? I'm not interested. And that's okay. But you should not refrain from killing because it makes sense. Rather, because God told Moshe to tell the Jewish people, to tell every non-Jew not to kill. That's why you should not kill. That's what it's saying. Yal derech ma shekasav Rambam bepirush haMishnayos. Similarly to what the Rambam wrote in his commentary to the Mishnah, a different book, b'Maseches Chulim, there he writes like this: Kavi mitzvot mila v'kayotze boy. Regarding, he's talking about Jews and for Jews, but the Rebbe is again proving from a text a concept. What does the Rambam say regarding the precept, the commandment of circumcision? The Rambam writes like this: שאין אנו מלא מפני שאברהם אבינו עליו השלום מלא את עצמו וימשי בייסר. We, the Jews, do not circumcise ourselves because Abraham, our father, forefather, whatever, circumcised himself and the people of his house. No, no, no. That's not the reason why we circumcise. Why? The Rambam writes. Ela mipnei shehakadosh baruch hu tzivah isano al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu shenimoy. Rather, because God told Moshe to tell us to circumcise. That's the reason we circumcise. Behainu. That means the av shebris ze ubris shel Avraham Avinu. Even though when we actually go and circumcise our children, we mention that this is the pact of Avraham Avinu, the covenant of Avraham Avinu, kenusach habracha lachnisa bebris shel Avraham Avinu, just as we say in the blessing that we actually do when we circumcise, we say that we thank God, whatever, and we're bringing this child into the covenant of Avraham. So we mention Avraham. It's not like we delete, erase Avraham from the whole story. No, no, no. We mention him. However, mikol makom, kiyum mitzvah mechamas atzibur b'matan Torah. We fulfill this commandment because the Torah says, actually in Parshas Tazria, the Parshas of this week, in the eighth day you have to circumcise him. But the same thing the Rebbe is applying to Bnei Noach. It's true. You can refrain from killing because you're a normal person. And it's okay. It's better than nothing. It's better like that's better than going around killing people. Okay, you're fine. But the real reason why you should not kill is because God says. And there it says, ubesheva mitzvos Bnei Noach. Same thing applies with the seven commandments of Bnei Noach. Even though they are called commandments of Bnei Noach, and Noach lived many, many years before giving of the Torah, before Moshe Rabbeinu, so you could say, I don't need Moshe, I don't need Torah, I don't need anything else. God told Noach, and I fulfilled what God told Noach. What's the problem? No, no, no. Mikol makim, even so, kiyumam tzarich liyev mechamas sheken nitzava v'matan Torah. The reason why they fulfill these commandments has to be because that's what Hashem told Moshe in the giving of the Torah. Well, there, the same thing happens. Achiv loku foisam, the obligation to force them to fulfill them. Ushiyekayimu esamitzes alalu mechamas shinstavu aleihem b'matan Torah liyedei Moshe Rabbein. The way of understanding these commandments has to be that they should fulfill them because they were given for them in the giving of the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu. Behu, kidavka bekoyach haTorah. Why? You can ask again. Wait a second. I have Noach. Noach is my forefather. He was, so to speak, a good guy, whatever. Tzadik. The Torah says he was a just guy, righteous guy. So I have Noach. I don't need Moshe. So the Rebbe is explaining why you need Moshe in this case, in this context. There are other explanations, but in this context, why do you need Moshe? Because only or specifically with the strength of the Torah, you can influence nations of the world that they should recognize the kingship of God, as we explained regarding Pharaoh. Why was Moshe the main thing to talk to Pharaoh and not Aaron? Apparently Aaron had a good tongue, so to speak, and Moshe not. So why is Moshe the main thing? Torah. Just with Torah, you can do something good. You can elevate, the Rebbe is going to say this, you can elevate non-Jews. No other way. So that's why the only reason why a non-Jew should fulfill the commandments is because they're written in the Torah. If you separate the Torah from these commandments, like saying, I have Noach, I don't need Moshe, so you don't have the strength of the Torah. So you're not going to, it's not going to last. It's true, you might not kill, you might not be a thief, whatever, it's okay. But it's not going to last, you're not going to be able to say this to somebody else and really influence somebody else. Forget it. Just through Torah. The Rebbe mentioned Anoichi. Anoichi means the first Hebrew word of the Ten Commandments, and that actually means one of the explanations, Aramaic, four words, Ana nafshi kesavis yahavis. I myself gave into these writings. It's true. Avraham had the Torah. But he did not have the strength to go beyond himself. No. Only because God put himself into the Torah and he gave it to us that we can actually connect to him. Yeah. He, in other words, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, all of them had the Torah. Yeah, it's true. Even Noah had the Torah also. That's clear in the writings, in Rashi also, it's clear. However, they were only able to reach to the source of the creation, not to God. Because the creation cannot go beyond himself unless God comes in and says, hello, I'm going to like drive you to me. So we need the Torah, because the Torah is like the expression of the essence of God. And that's why we can, through the Torah, connect to him. But only if he gives himself. Before he gave himself, it was impossible. Yaakov Avinu, the Zohar says that Yaakov fulfilled the mitzvah of tefillin, like the phylactery is tefillin. Okay, Yaakov fulfilled the mitzvah of tefillin when he was multiplying the sheep of Lavan with some sticks that he made, the sticks, whatever. So the Zohar says those sticks did the same thing that we do, the Jews, with the tefillin. Okay, the Zohar says, so we take it, whatever, we accept it, no problem. But Hasidus explains something very interesting. After Yaakov finished with the sticks, like he made all the sheep and he finished with it, he just threw them away. That's it. It's a piece of wood. I don't care. Threw them away. Tefillin are a holy thing, a holy, whatever, thing, object. And you cannot throw it away. Actually, when tefillin fall, if you're managing your tefillin, they fall, you have to fast. It's like a holy thing that fell in the floor, whatever. So, what's the difference? Why did Yaakov throw them away if they were tefillin and we cannot throw them away? Hasidus explains, because Yaakov was not able, even though he was a holy man, blah, 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 he was not able to fill the world with God's presence. Like, transform the world, like, from a very mundane thing into a holy thing. He was not. He wasn't able to do that. Even though he fulfilled the needs of tefillin, but he wasn't able to fill the world with kedusha, with sanctity. Today, we, of course, we're not even close to Yaakov, of course, but we can fill the world with kedusha, something Yaakov could not do. Why? Because we have the Torah. Matan Torah is like the moment that this changes. Vehine, now. Inyan ze delachu was called by Oilam, this idea that the Rambam writes to force all the human beings to fulfill these commandments, lo haisa epsharius lekaime bederis akoidim. It was impossible to fulfill this in the previous generations. Ve'atche hayos man sheze haya inyan shel sakana, to the point that there was a time where this was actually dangerous. Imagine a Jew in the Spanish Inquisition going out and say, hey, everybody has to fulfill this. What are you talking about?
No,
impossible. Which is not the case in the last generations. Nishtana hametzius. The world changed. The literal translation is change the reality. Metzius is like reality. But the world changed. Everything changed. Be'oifen kaze, in such a way, she'esh psharius lokuf esboi oilam, that there is a possibility of actually forcing everybody to fulfill these commandments. Why is this like that? We could say to explain this. Why? Why something changed? Because in the world to come, in the future to come, it's going to be fulfilled. This thing, this matter of God is going to have the kingship. Everybody is going to recognize that he is the king. V'yadua shebe'erev Shabbos mitzvah lito mikol tavshil v'tavshil v'tavshil Shabbos. And it's known, it's actually a law, that in Friday, before Shabbos comes in, it's a good thing, it's a mitzvah to taste from each food that you prepare for Shabbos. So before Shabbos, you have to taste a little bit Shabbos. Lochen, therefore, davka bizman hazeh, be'erev Shabbos shel ha'geula, specifically in our days, in the previous moments, so to speak, the previous, the Friday of the redemption, נסחט שואה פשריוס בידי ישראל, came through the, so to speak, renovated, something like that, the possibility with in the Jewish people, lack of his bayah oilam, to force everybody else, ונאוץ סויפם בתחילת ומתחילת ומסויפם. And the end is connected to the beginning is connected to the end. So this started with Noach. And of course, he spoke with God, whichever way, some kind of nebius, how do you say, prophecy. And of course, he was fulfilling these commandments, and he taught these commandments, etc. And the end, which is now, is connected to that beginning. Now we can teach the same way to everybody the commandments. שעל דרך זה מצינו העניין דהפצה סלוקוס, גם בין אומי סאוילם, the same thing we found, this is what the Rebbe says is very interesting. I would love to see the faces of the people listening at that moment, the Rebbe, very interesting. The same thing we find teaching godliness between non-Jews, the nations of the world, by Avraham Avinu. Abraham, our forefather, שהיה היהודי הראשון, he was the first Jew, וכמו שכתוב בו, as it's written by him, ויקרא שם בשם השם, כל העולם, he used to call there, whatever there was, what he was, the God is the king or the God of the world, שהקריא שם הוויה בכל העולם כולו, he made everybody else call in the name of God. Our sages say, the Rebbe is like very, in this part, it's very concise. It's quoting so many different places in the Talmud, in the Midrash. So you have to put everything together. The teaching says that Vayikra Sham Veshem Avaye Kelelam. Avram, wherever he was, he called, he himself, called in the name of God. And our sages say, Al Tikre Vayikra, don't say he called, Ela Vayakri, he made others call in the name of God. So this is what the Rebbe is quoting over here. So Avraham made an effort to make everybody else call in the name of God. V'yeser al ken, moreover, shafatz haselokus sheloi haisa be'oven shel kel oilom ve'lo kel ha'oilom. This is another huge teaching. Moreover, the way Avraham taught about God was in a way of God world, and not God of the world. The regular simple translation of Kel Oilam, simple translation, not this discourse translation, is God is the king of the world. God is the God of the world, so to speak. The ruler of the world, or whatever. Okay, that's fine, and that's English, plain English, it's okay. But our sages say something in Hasidus, very, very precise. The Torah says, Kel Oilam. Translation wrong, but like very low level translation, God world. What do you mean God world? God of the world. Okay, in English you have to inject these words, and it makes sense. God of the world. But take out these words, which are not written over there in Hebrew, and says God world. It should have said, Kel ho'oilom, God of the world. In Hebrew should have said that, but it doesn't say that. Why? Because there's a unity between God and the world. Don't think that the world is something separated from God, something independent of God. No, no, no. So it's not just that Avram taught about God. Eh, there's a God, there's a ruler, there's a king. Okay, very nice. Avram told them, everybody, that God is one with the world. There's no other thing as God. And apparently they understood it. This is what Avram used to teach. Probably had some Hasidic discourses over there, and that's what he taught. Kimevuar bekama mekoimais, as he's explained in many places, hadiuk, this precise letter, so to speak, quote-unquote, missing letter in the text, baze shekel ve'oilam einam based varim nitradim, chas v'shalom. This idea of God and the world are not two different separated things, God forbid. Ela ha'oilam atzmoi u'elokus. The world itself, rather, that the world itself, is godliness. Not that the world is God. No, 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 that's a philosophical garbage. The world is godliness. I mean, you can see God in the world, and God is completely connected to the world. This is what Abraham taught. Why? Okay, so the Rebbe now talks about like Kabbalah-dika things from Zoya, from Arizal. So he's not going to explain. I can explain, no problem. This is one idea. The contraction is not literal. And Velashana Zoyar, as the Zoyar says in Kabbalah, lays asar panoim minei. This is in Aramaic. There's no place, laces, there's no. Asar is in Aramaic, place. Ponui, free, minei, of him. There's no place devoid of God. This last line, the Rebbe is referencing very deep ideas, not complex, but deep ideas. And there was a discussion, famous discussion between the Alter Rebbe, the founder of Chabad, and the Gaon of Vilna. But he was pretty much against Hasidus. And he was also a very big Mekubal. The Gaon of Vilna used to say, Tzimtzum Kipshutoi. Different from this discourse. Tzimtzum means contraction. It's a like Kabbalistic idea that the Arizal brought in, that basically what it means is that God's presence in the world is like hidden. This is how Hasidus understands. The Gaon of Vilna would tell you God is not in certain places of the world. He left certain places of the world. And Alter Rebbe used to say, wait a second, it's written, Leis Asar Panaminei, there's no place devoid of God. What do you do with that writing, with that verse, so to speak? It's in Zohar, but what do you do with that piece of Zohar? I don't know what the Gaon of Vilna would say. I don't know. But this was a very famous discussion. Very famous discussion. Tzimtzum Kipshuto or not. There's a whole explanation of this by Aryeh Kaplan. He has a translation of Sefer HaBohir. And there he explains this also. He wasn't a Hasidic Chabad Hasid. He was from Breslev. But he explains pretty well this idea. But this is basically very, very briefly what the idea is. Tzimtzum Kipshutoi, literal or not literal. Because when you only read the writings of the Arizal, which the Arizal didn't actually write anything, his Talmidim, his students wrote, when you read there, you could understand it both ways. He's talking about it literally, God went away from the world, or he's talking about he concealed himself, he hid himself from the world. You can read it in both ways.